Hi, this is Linda Rax with Our Life in the Trinity. Glad to have you with us today. I'm giving the sermon for June 25th, 2023, called Divine Immunity. We'll begin with prayer, have some conversation about this topic, read some scripture, have communion if you'd like to prepare for that right now. And then we'll end with a benediction. So let's begin with prayer. So we thank you, Lord, that we can be here today together. We thank you for your word to us. Thank you for the gift you have given us, Jesus, in coming to live our life and die our death and rise again. Thank you that in you we have this divine immunity to sin. You have healed us, you have redeemed us, you have restored us. So we ask today that we might hear what you have to say to us, that you will remove all other thoughts and words, and let only that be said that you desire through Jesus our Lord. We pray. Amen. You know, recently I was looking through some old journals and kind of reviewing how things are going, where I've been, and this, I was like, I guess the journal I had looked at was over 10 years ago, so way before I ever came to Tennessee, and I was just noticing areas where God has grown me, and yet there are still areas where I need to grow, and areas of character we wrestle with, there's always places where we need to learn and grow. We are children, and we're growing in our relationship with God and Christ by the Spirit. Some of the things we struggle with are weaknesses, areas where we just have a tendency to do what isn't best. Some are quirks. You know, I've been noticing how things that people in the past have kind of indicated were bad about me were actually just quirks. They're my personality. They're the way God made me, and I need to learn to work with it and use those things for the benefit of others and to do God's will. And then there are some areas in where we just simply miss the mark of who we were meant to be in Christ, which is a nice way of saying, a long way of saying sin. We don't live according to who God created us to be. And so that's just the fact of our human life in Christ. Now, over the years, I have found that self-help books can be helpful. You know, I remember reading books on boundaries, which were a real revelation to me because at one point in my life, I didn't even know I was supposed to have any. And so that was very helpful to me to learn something new. Books on leadership, books on family relationships, on, you know, parenting, and they're all helpful. Paul did say that it's the renewing of our minds that enables us to grow in our transformation in Christ. But the reality is, though, there are limitations to what self-help books can do for us. I mean, they're helpful, but they're insufficient. One thing that has helped me over the years is having healthy, mature people who have invested in me, who were like spiritual mentors. They saw something in me that I didn't see in me, and they began to speak into that, give me opportunities to grow. You know, some of the people in my life have given me responsibilities in my work that I never dreamed I could do, and discovered that I could do it well. And I was very surprised. So we need people in our life who can do that for us. I mean, if you have someone in your life, that's great. And I hope that you will find someone who can speak into you, who can tell you the truth, who will help you grow. And you'll find someone you can do that for. And that's the whole thing of discipleship, of being a follower of Christ and following others who follow Christ. We're meant to help one another grow up in Christ-likeness. But that's insufficient in the long run, because what we each need more than anything else is to begin with a personal relationship with Father, Son, and Spirit. God invests in each of us, and God raises each of us up more and more to the fullness of who He meant us to be. God's purpose is not to harm us or destroy us, but to grow us up in Christness, Christ-likeness, to grow us into Christ, because Christ is the true human. And God does this with grace, with mercy, with forbearance and long suffering. Whatever change we may experience in our life is a gift from God, and God wants us to grow. He knows we are but children who are growing, and He is doing our best to grow us up in Christ. Now, in Romans 6, 1 to 11, Paul talks about grace and the importance of grace. And unfortunately, the people in that church seemed to think grace gave them permission to do whatever they wanted in their life. And this is what Paul says. Now, what is our response to be? Shall we sin to our heart's content and see how far we can exploit the grace of God? What a ghastly thought. We who have died to sin, how could we live in sin a moment longer? Have you forgotten that all of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were, by that very action, sharing in his death? We were dead and buried with him in baptism, so that just as he was raised from the dead by that splendid revelation of the Father's power, so we too might rise to life on a new plane altogether. If we have, as it were, shared his death, let us rise and live our new lives with him. Let us never forget that our old selves died with him on the cross, that the tyranny of sin over us might be broken. For a dead man can safely be said to be immune to the power of sin. And if we were dead men with him, we can believe that we shall also be men newly alive with him. We can be sure that the risen Christ never dies again. Death's power to touch him is finished. He died because of sin once. He lives for God forever. In the same way, look upon yourselves as dead to the appeal and power of sin, but alive and sensitive to the call of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So Paul's saying to us, grace does not give us the freedom to do as we please. What grace does is frees us to be who we truly are, God's beloved children who love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and being, love our neighbor as ourselves, to be truly ourselves. That is what grace does for us. We want to realize and embrace everything Christ has done for us. When he died, you and I died. The bad died with him. The good died with him. We died with him. The life we live now, we live in the resurrected Christ. That means we have new life. We live a new way. And we receive the Spirit. We receive Christ's life in us, with us, for us. We begin to lose then. As we are open to the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, we lose our desire to do anything except to love God and love others. We begin to have the impetus within us to be truly human the way God meant us to be human, because that's the way Christ is, the way He lives. Our life now is hidden with Christ in God. We tend often to focus on moral behavior, about what is bad and what is good, and am I performing well? And instead, we need to focus on growing in, enjoying our relationship with Father, Son, and Spirit, for we have been swept up in the middle of their love and life. That's where our true life is found, in right relationship with God and one another, through Christ and the Spirit. Our focus needs to be on the relationship, on being God's beloved children, living that unconditional love and grace He's offered us, participating with Him in healing and restoring His creation, all He has made. For that's what He's doing right now. That's His mission in this world. He's made things right with Christ. Now He's making things right with Christ, yes, by His Spirit. Now the evil one keeps us focused on the lies. And if we're focused on the lies, then we're not focusing on this relationship with Christ in the Spirit. We then are focused on ourselves and on our desires and our will. And that is where sin has its roots. Many times we focus on what we or others are doing wrong. Satan likes to keep us focused on those things. He likes to keep us focused on what's wrong with this world, because when we're focused on what's wrong in the world, we're not keeping our mind and our heart on things above, which is what Paul reminds us to do. Keep our heart and mind on things above, not on what's wrong with this world. It's okay to see what's wrong, but where do we take that? What do we do with that? We keep it in the middle of our right relationship with God in the Spirit. We focus a lot of times on remaking ourselves or others and having to fix ourselves or fix other people. Good luck with that. Or we're concentrated on trying to be good people, trying to jot every T, you know, we're trying to do everything exactly right. And I don't know how well it works for you, but for me, that doesn't work real well. We even focus on trying to get ourselves right with God. And the irony is Christ has made us right with God. He's brought us into His right relationship with God. He has given us His righteousness, His goodness by the Spirit. And one of the things I hear a lot of from people who have mental illness especially, but even from Christians, is that God doesn't care and God doesn't love us. And that's the most insidious of lies that began in the Garden of Eden, that Satan has said from the beginning, that God doesn't care and God doesn't love us. And so we need to not listen to that lie. It is not true. Because Jesus comes. I mean, He abandons, as the Son of God, all the benefits of divinity to join us in our humanity, to become an infant, to be a child, to be persecuted, condemned, to die for us. So, and even our self-condemnation, condemnation of others, is a lie, because, you know, we read in Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation in Christ, for those who are in Christ Jesus. In Christ, there is no reason to feel condemned. So the truth of the matter is that we focus on, instead of all these lies, is that evil, sin, and death died with Christ. We died with Christ. When He died, we died. And when He died, the sin in us died. And it no longer has power over us. It may feel like it does. It may seem like it does, but that's a lie. The truth is, we died with Christ. We rose with Christ. And He's given us His glory in the Spirit. We're free to be who God has always meant for us to be. His beloved, cherished children who serve God and love God and one another. We can simply be who we are as human beings. We have a new life in Christ, and so Christ says to us, live it. By the Spirit, live the life you've been given in His life by the Spirit. Now, we know that we're going to mess up. We're going to be like the lady caught in adultery. And come, we deserve to be condemned. We deserve to receive God's punishment. We deserve to be rejected by God. How often does this happen? Huh, I don't know about you, but this is the human condition. Remember Jesus' words to that woman. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Because this is His word to us. Remember Romans 8:1. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Key, Jesus Christ. Our relationship with God is secure in Christ. It is Christ's relationship with the Father and the Spirit that we're included in that really matters here. That's our grounding. That's our security. We make mistakes. We sin. Sometimes we're absolutely wretched. Sometimes we really hurt the people in our lives. We call ourselves Christians sometimes, and we're nasty and mean. And we're not at all Christ-like. That is the reality of the human condition. As long as we're in this flesh, we're going to mess up. But we don't intend to be there. We don't try to be there. We don't want to be there because we're in Christ. We have a new heart, a new mind. We have the Spirit. We wouldn't care. I mean, we would be indifferent to sin if it weren't for the fact that Christ lives in us by the Spirit, that we've been given a new heart. We get upset and we feel bad because Christ lives in us, because of His heart in us. Christ gives us His own right relationship with the Father and the Spirit, and we want to do our part, our participation in living that out. Too often, when we're struggling, when we feel that emptiness or we feel that need, we want to bury the guilt or shame we feel, or we want to fill our emptiness, we go to all the wrong things. We have false gods we turn to. And the blessing is, though, that Christ has already taken our face and turned it back to the Father in His life, death, resurrection, ascension. His purpose is to turn us as humans away from ourselves, sin, self, Satan, and turn us to the Father. Turn us back. And He's done that. And He's given us that in His Spirit. So our participation in that is to say yes to that. To agree with that. To turn ourselves back to Christ. When we're searching for that answer, when we're tempted to go that place we know we shouldn't go, we turn to Christ. We say, I can't do this. It's a journey. We have ups. We have downs. Some days we get it right. Some days, man, we just can't do it. And so what's the key here? The key here is it's not up to us. It's up to Christ. He's our mediator. He's the one who intercedes for us. He's the one who prays for us. He's the one who cares for us. He's the one that's present when we feel alone. By the Spirit, He is always at work. We focus not on how well we're doing, but on Christ, on our relationship with Father, Son, and Spirit, on turning to them. And when we feel like we can't even pray, the Spirit knows our spirit and prays. And we trust in that. We trust in Christ, in his work. Transformation then happens as we turn to Jesus, as we learn from him and follow him in obedience to the Spirit and his word. So our participation then becomes what? That we turn to Christ, yes. We can learn from Jesus. We learn from Jesus, well, we learn from the scriptures. That means read the Bible. Whoa. Start with the Gospels. Get to know Jesus. Build a relationship with him. Talk to him. Get to know the Spirit. Begin to talk to the Spirit. Begin to learn what it means when the Spirit prompts you to do something. Learn when the Spirit gives you that, has that stop, that stay. Don't do that. And learn to obey that. Learn to live in relationship with Father and hear his voice in that inner place in our hearts. We learn from Christ. We walk and learn from the Spirit. We live in that place where our relationship with God is our focus. And we will discover that transformation happens. Things change. Now, there are times when things don't change. And it's a challenge. Because we live in this flesh. We're still in this place where we're human. We're growing. We're learning. We're hoping that we can be all that God wants us to be. And yet we struggle. And that is why we turn to Christ. We are reminded that we died with Christ. We rose with Christ. We share in his glory, both now and forever. It's not up to us. It's up to him. That's the good news. It's up to him. And he's got a hold of us. And he's holding us in his right relationship with the Father and the Spirit. So we take the communion each week to be reminded that our life is in Christ, not in ourselves, not in our ability to get it right, not in how many self-help books we read, how many hard we try. In the end, we can rest in him. He says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from Christ. Rest in him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the gift of yourself, your Spirit, your right relationship with Father. We receive this with gratitude and praise in your name. Amen. Jesus offered his body for us. And in taking this bread, we're reminded, thank you, Jesus. Jesus poured out his blood for us, poured out his life for us. We receive Christ's life for our life. Thank you, Jesus. Now may the God who has given us the free gift of life through Jesus Christ our Lord bless you, keep you, watch over you, smile on you, give you his peace. In the name of the Father, Son, Spirit, God bless you. Thank you for being with me today. And I do pray you have a great week, that you'll come to see us on lifeinthetrinity.blog and continue to subscribe to this channel so you can see the latest videos here on Our Life in the Trinity. God bless.